You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Several environmental groups in BC are concerned over a series of applications for licenses to extract water from dozens of streams on the south coast. More than 40 pairs of applications have been made for small-scale water extraction from streams in Knight, Butte, Toba, and Jervis Inlets, located just north of the Sunshine Coast. The Sierra Club, Council of Canadians, Friends of Butte Inlet, West Coast Environmental Law, and others are calling for a closer review of the multiple applications. It appears that the proponent wants to create a network of water extraction sites and barge the stream water to Vancouver to be bottled for commercial sale in the global market. Lanny Keller is with the Friends of Butte Inlet. She joins me this morning. Hello, Lanny.
Hello, good morning.
How did you find out about these water plant applications?
We first found out about them through an advertisement in the Campbell River Paper, one of those local little applications for a resource permit. So it was a 7 permits for Butte Inlet that raised our radar, and it was no bigger than that, but it was an odd and unusual proposal. So we wondered about it, and then Arthur Caldicott, on assignment from the Watershed Sentinel magazine, did some research and came up with the information that it's a much larger scheme, and it's many more applications scattered throughout 4 major BC inlets.
What do we know about the water extraction businesses that are being proposed?
Well, we don't know a lot. We might want to back up and talk about the inlets. They are very remote places, and ecosystems that are very important. They have a lot of globally important biodiversity. They're some of the few remaining productive wild watersheds left on the planet, and that's a responsibility that we have to consider while we're looking at industry in the inlets. So not very many people live up there, not very many people even work up there, and a few people recreate, but they're very far away, expensive to access, and there's very limited government oversight of things going on. So we don't know too much about these 40 applications, but they are scattered, and therefore each one a total of 112,000 cubic liters per day. So collectively, that's a very big water collection scheme. It could be 1.6 billion liters of water per year, and that's a lot of water removal, and it's a lot of water bottles.
And what's the water to be used for?
It's to water bottled sales for export.
What concerns do you have about the environmental impact of these facilities?
Well, mostly the concern is that we don't know. Nothing of this scale has ever been proposed on the coast, or, you know, it's a very unprecedented water collection scheme. So the environmental impacts are unknown and unstudied, and everything makes a difference, but we can't say what the environmental effects would be, but it's important that they be looked at as a whole, and that the process that we have with the Ministry of Natural Resource Operations is not an environmental assessment process. The water licenses are submitted as individual licenses, and the process just looks at them that way. It's a process without transparency. It looks at just the single issues around the single licenses. It has no mandate to ask the questions that are necessary for understanding the project as a whole, or the questions about the downstream and cumulative effects of the licenses. So mostly it's we don't know, and we need a process that is accountable, and we need to look at the environmental issues, but we also are concerned about the thin edge of the wedge in other social aspects of what's going on.
You mentioned the thin edge of the wedge. What kinds of concerns are you worried about there?
Well, again, it's the great unknown, but protection of water is really important to all British Columbians, and it might be, you know, it's the next gold. We've seen so many enterprises start as small in BC with, you know, maybe just a few licenses, and then they morph into something completely different over time. We had casinos might be something people can remember. that started as one special permit in Whistler, and that was just to make it competitive. And now there's 25 casinos in BC, and lots of jobs, many related to managing and treating gambling addictions. And fish farms are another example. They started in my neighborhood with just a few small pens, and they were growing indigenous Pacific salmon. And in a few years, those licenses expanded, and many more were approved, and now it's a giant industry. It's 95% foreign-owned, and there's all kinds of unforeseen consequences. And then we have independent hydropower. It started out small. It was local. It was environmentally sensitive. And now everybody has issues with their hydro bills that are skyrocketing, and the profits are going to shareholders all over the globe, and I have General Electric in my backyard. So these corporations are tricky. They're motivated by profit, and the shareholders change and the ownership changes. And if history's anything to go by, you know, the natural conclusion of these water applications could easily be large multinationals controlling and commercializing our BC water resources.
I understand that the West Coast Environmental Law has sent a letter to the ministry. What have they asked them to do?
They asked for a halt on the application processes till they could be better studied, and they said the questions that were being asked by the Ministry of Natural Resource Operations, which is the agency in charge of reviewing these applications, that West Coast Environmental Law said the right questions were not being asked, so that we need a different investigation.
And how has the ministry responded so far?
The ministry has not responded so far, although there's been a ton of media attention to the subject in BC nationally. The government has not responded to us yet.
And you were talking a moment ago about this corporate aspects, and that relates a little bit to larger human rights issues and environmental issues. Are you making these links with the water licenses in your backyard to these larger global issues?
I think many people make their own connections. You know, everybody will have their pet issues that they immediately find concerning. This could go any number of ways in terms of what you want to be concerned about. Right now, we've got the BC government also proposing to modernize the BC Water Act, and they've proposed a policy just now that talks about licensed trading and water markets, and allowing water license holders to sell to the highest bidder in an open market. You know, is that what's going on here? But we've also got citizen democracy on the table. The proposed deregulation of water in BC that's being proposed would prevent communities and levels of government, small, you know, local levels of government, from prioritizing social and environmental needs over corporate interests. That's like the government's 2002 Bill 30 expanded. They've already stripped local government and we the people of our voice in decisions regarding independent power and river diversions. So they're just like taking this one step further. And, you know, local governments have voted against these water applications, but if our elected representative's voice is not heard, how is that democracy? We also have corporate democracy at work here, because General Electric has just registered to lobby the BC government. I just found this out. It's really kind of amazing. The GE's registered to lobby, and one of the things they're going to lobby about, they've got a whole bunch of policies they want to impact, but last month they announced an initiative to, and I'm quoting here, gain greater insight into shaping the growth of Canada's remote community economies and the decisions being made by global and national businesses to invest in these communities. I just read that as you know, corporatization of our resources. It's rather horrifying.
What results do you hope your efforts to raise awareness of this issue will have?
Well, you know something, I'm really just hoping that the public will become involved. I really believe we need a big public discussion and an accountable process. It's such a hugely important issue with long-range consequences. Water is absolutely fundamental to life, and we just have to be very careful that we don't end up in a situation that we can't reverse. There's so many places in the world where you can see bad situations that have evolved thanks to private corporations owning and controlling water rights. So I just think it deserves, this particular scheme deserves a careful examination for its possible cumulative environmental effects and all the social impacts that may be coming down the path with it.
And how can people support you in your efforts?
I think it's largely about being aware that this is out there, this is on the table. Bring it up when you have any opportunity to talk about these things. Talk with your neighbors, talk with your friends. There's a lot more information at butteinlet.net, a website that we've set up for, in particular, Friends of Butte Inlet, but it has considerable information about this particular water issue, lots of background and documents, and the media that has come around in the last couple of, a week or so now. And there's also an action request, so people can write to the minister and request that these applications be halted and that we have a formal environmental assessment to discuss the bigger questions.
Keep an eye on this issue. It's certainly an important one.
It is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Lani Keller of the Friends of Butte Inlet. You can find out more about the campaign at their website, butteinlet.net.